This podcast has been brought to you by monami.coach.
Forget great resignation. Think great reflection. We are at a crossroad in terms of work and people, and our expectations and as employers must shift. We once again welcome Mr. Ashok in the episode 2 of the podcast on ways to invest in our leaders to survive the great resignation. Welcome back, Ashok. It is always a pleasure to have you with us. Good morning, Ashok. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Priyanka. Thank you so much for having me back again on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ashok. Ashok, when I was reading some articles, I have realized that the aftermath of the pandemic on the mental health is slowly unraveling. And, quitting jobs is one of the symptoms of it. Productivity has a lot to do with our mindset. If we are not productive, we will not be happy, will not be satisfied, will be stressed. So the management and leaders are uncertain about the shortcomings and are trying to find new ways to engage with the workforce. On September 2021, McKinsey, Bloomberg, Harvard, and many such firms have stated that the great resignation, the resignation rates are at their peak and are going to be higher in the coming months. And we all know what happened in the month of November 2021. Also from Harvard Business Review, the report says that people quitting jobs are higher within the range of 30 to 45 years. It seems mid-career employees are leaving the organizations. The attrition level at mid-career level employees are higher. And there's a lot of discussion happening around there. Some of the expectation we often discuss and we often read is about work-life flexibility, culture in the workplace, sense of belongingness in the workplace, understanding the workforce, and so on. In our last podcast also, we discussed quite a lot of things. We also discussed about autonomy. So I would like to understand from you, Ashok, is, when we talk about employees looking for more autonomy in their workplace or in their work style, how do you think this can be achieved without compromising the organizational authority?
Interesting question, Priyanka. How do you create a workplace autonomy without sacrificing leadership, if I may say so? So, I mean, if you really look at it based on research and anecdotal evidence, there is no denying a workplace autonomy promotes employee happiness. Yeah. Surveys after survey have concluded that employees, if they're given more choice, are more satisfied and higher performing than counterparts with fewer freedoms.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Autonomy often inspires a culture of innovation, for example, and allows employees an opportunity to become more self-sufficient. So for executives, this means less time overseeing daily operations and more time focused on strategy and growth.
Mm-hmm.
But for a company that still hasn't shifted to an autonomous environment, the idea of giving employees so much freedom can be a little unsettling.
Now, with that, I have another thing in my mind, which is leading to this particular discussion, what we have. Some of the aspects of hybrid work culture, which we have covered in the previous discussion, were like focusing on employee welfare, pairing the right talent with the right individual, giving employees what they need, leadership accountability, and so on. There were many things which we have actually noted down from our last discussion. Now, when we talk about all these things, what do you think? Is it possible or it is humanly possible to engage with every employee in a hybrid work environment, that too frequently, and understanding the pulse of the workforce?
Yeah, the fact of the matter is that, if the question is that can you go across and do that? I think today, to a very large extent, the answer is yes. I think you can. It is possible to connect, although, of course, there will be heavy investments required in training and creating self-awareness with the employees in terms of how that needs to be done. And I think technology will be play a very, very large role in mm-hmm. being able to do that.
It is actually, when I understand, you know, when we talk in the organization with a bunch of like about 50 people or 30 people in a row, we do a lot of activities. But then is the activity actually useful for each and every individual? We don't know that. Mm-hmm. We are also doing a couple of things. You know, every Friday there is some or the other activity going on in the organization from 4 o'clock onwards or mm-hmm. Friday mornings. And after the activity, nobody asks basically, how was it? The feedback taken after the activity, nobody takes it. And if they take also, what is the action done post that? You know, right care at the right time. When we say we are engaging, are we taking the feedback? Are we actually engaging with them? And is it possible for an organization like wherein lakhs and lakhs of people are working together, is it possible for them to humanly go and understand each and every employee there? So as you rightly said, yes, AI and technology plays a vital role over there to engage and understand the pulse of the organization at ground level.
Yeah, so, you know, if I understand the drift right, see, the way I look at it, Priyanka, in any business operation, you know, teamwork and collaboration is key to productivity. So, you know, the question whether people need to be engaged and people are, you know, understand what the business direction is all about and how they need to go about and what their goals are and timelines and all of that. And, you know, also the fact that, you know, people need to be heard, because, you know, people are not kind of completely engaged with your environment unless they feel that, you know, they are being listened to and heard and, you know, acted upon. I mean, their needs are being acted upon. So teamwork and collaboration, you know, in any business operation is key to productivity. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest mistake is that, which sometimes we have, is that mindset that collaboration can only happen when everyone is in the same environment, either all virtual or all in person. So companies need to keep an open mind and rethink what type of work requires collaboration and which ones don't.
A lot of discussion going on around this topic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's key to fending off two potential pitfalls, you know, of having a hybrid workforce. One is in-office employees who feel resentful of or impatient towards remote workers. You know, there is always this divide. And remote or hybrid employees who feel alienated from making decisions on decision making kind of thing. So hybrid teams and team buildings are, in my view, are compatible concepts, and you need to make that happen. I mean, this awareness you're talking about, you know, how do people feel heard, and are people aware, and is it possible to get the pulse of each and every individual? I think it is, by keeping them engaged and, you know, reaching out to these people. So, for example, you know, this is a perfect time for companies to put thought into how they want hybrid teams to operate. So why you could, I mean, there is this talk of, you know, doing soft relaunches or a kickoff event for your teams. So basically what that means is employees can discuss what a hybrid in work environment looks like at their company, and what role they will play in it, and that each team or department devises its own team communication charter. So you're giving the employees the flexibility to put their own needs up front and, you know, align it with the company needs and create a charter by which the best productivity is achieved. And this document, you know, this charter can include, you know, things like how team members will individually and collectively approach the hybrid experience, you know, the solutions that address team members' individual circumstances, you know, things like family commitments, commutes, or any other personal situation, or along with their preferred work styles.
Right.
You know, this is one way by which you can use all of this charter knowledge to structure the team's work and schedules appropriately. And thereby you are also, by doing so, also reaching out and figuring out what do team members really need, you know, from the business, and how can they best be attracted and stay engaged. So that is one. The other is also, you know, How do you reach out, and how do you collaboration is also about, you know, creating more equitable kind of work environments, you know. Sometimes you have a problem, you know, by default, in-person attendees draw more focus and remote participants might be treated as a distraction or an inconvenience because of the extra work it takes to include them in the experience. So as a result, virtual attendees, you know, might not have the opportunity to be active participants in a conversation.
Right.
So some companies have actually, you know, recommended the use of a virtual moderator. It just makes the whole experience more inclusive than an in-person kind of a collaboration. Here, everybody is at par and everybody is being looked at and everybody's needs are being met. And finally, I think, you know, to get these people to kind of collaborate and to be more engaged, if you may say so, I think you need to bring a little fun into the workplace environment. A lot of organizations are, you know, crafting fun themes and games, you know, during workplace sessions just to lighten the environment. They have what is known as, you know, non-meeting meetings, you know, non-meeting meetings. Basically, these are scheduled times. These are not random. These are scheduled times where people just meet up, you know, manager, employees, or yeah, even colleagues, and they chat, just chat. And this could be from 5 minutes to 20 minutes, but mm-hmm, no agenda. Yeah. And finally, I think, you know, collaboration is about more than workers on the same team or at a similar level working well together. It also means having high-level managers and actively engaged employees in the decision-making process. So today, you know, what a lot of organizations are doing is that they are forming, you know, for their projects, they're forming what is known as, I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the Kaizen concept. So there are a lot of these Kaizen teams which are being formed, you know, where employees from various levels, not just one level, you know, and different cultures and backgrounds, they are formed into a team, and they all work together, you know, in a focused fashion. And that has surprisingly yielded a lot of good results for people. Today, we've seen each other's puppies and dogs, and we've seen each other's what happens during meetings where the kid comes running into your room and, you know, you're trying to get that kid to go away from the room. So all of that has happened. So, you know, people have become have bonded, let's say, a little more strongly than before. And not to miss out on the fact that, you know, while all of this is being done, you know, you also, companies also need to evaluate on progress. So, you know, you have enough of technology and platforms and you know, where you can understand and you can measure how well your hybrid teams are functioning. Mm-hmm. So whether it is simple surveys can be a useful way to take the temperature on how well collaboration is going on. I mean, you don't need to save your questions for an annual survey. Yeah, instead ask about collaboration or teamwork through weekly or bi-monthly, let's say, pulse surveys or through small employee focus groups. So have a lot of multiple forums to collect employee comments, and these comments create more dialogue. So all of that is now possible, and all of that is happening in today's environment. And I think that is kind of really auguring well for the hybrid. I mean, that's auguring well for how to navigate through the hybrid environment.
Right. As you rightly said, you know, technology, collaboration, activities, these all things are very, very important in terms of building up the team, understanding the team and the kind of the mood of the workforce has. But at the same time, as you have rightly highlighted, the surveys. Because if there are no surveys, I don't understand why there are people quitting jobs in spite of all these parameters met. We are actually into the mid of the attrition wherein so many people are leaving jobs, and we don't have answers actually. So there could be reason of at could package, could be reason of flexible hours, could be reason of, but organization are trying everything what they can in terms of technology wise, collaboration wise, engagement activity wise. Still something which as we have discussed, these surveys, you know, quarterly surveys or monthly surveys, these will give us the clarity how they're actually feeling. And initially it happens, it used to happen on a yearly basis. I used to get surveys yearly basis and some 150 questions in a row, which we used to just mention it, yes, no, like that and finish it off. But now it needs to be structured in a way wherein they should feel okay, 5 to 10 questions, or it should be designed in such a way wherein employee should feel okay, I would like to answer these questions.
Absolutely. Priyanka, the bottom line is that, you know, the pandemic and the great resignation have made employee experience, you know, a business imperative.
Right.
You know, for organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and therefore, I mean, organizations really, really need to strive to better meet employees' evolving needs, you know, including using data and technologies to personalize these experiences and ensure people feel supported in moments that matter.
Thank you so much for your insightful comments on this particular subject, ways to invest in our leaders to survive the great resignation. What I have gathered from our discussion is leaders need to think more and think practical. Engagement will help only when it is both ways. Hence, in this situation, leaders can build a system of clear communication. Ensure listening to the team members and practicing empathy is important. Use of technology to create an environment of flexibility, to create a sense of belongingness at the workplace is vital. Leaders can also administer regular coaching and mentoring sessions with experts to help the employees decide their career journey. Taking care of the family welfare of the team can go a long way. And yes, as you've highlighted, practice a culture of gratitude and appreciation in the workplace goes a long way. Last but not the least, to boost employee retention, business should adopt a data-driven strategy. With that, signing off from today's podcast. Hope to see you all soon. Thank you. Thank you, Ashok. Thank you, team. Signing off. This is Priyanka.